Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
All right, you've chosen to come back into the House of Mystery, and I'm not sure why.
God knows why.
God knows why. And now joining us, like we said before the break, is the one and only Diane Fanning. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be with you today.
Now, we're going to be talking about a book called Baby Be Mine that you wrote, and it's the shocking true story of a woman who murdered a pregnant mother to steal her child. Wow. You know, I came across this because we actually interviewed Harry McLean about the McElroy, wasn't that his name, that was shot?
Yes, yes.
And I watched that documentary that's out, and all of a sudden on the third episode, you came on. It's like...
Yes! It's like magic.
Yeah, it's like, why is Diane there? Like, what's she doing? Did she shoot him? No, and then you start talking about this. This is a horrific, horrific case.
Yes.
And, you know,
unbelievable is what it is.
And this town only has 400 people live in it. How can they have so much crime in such a small town?
It's just amazing. It's almost like the town was cursed because of McElroy. There's hardly, you know, as you said, it's only a couple hundred people there. And they had this crime with Bobby Jo Stinnett, who was murdered to steal the baby out of her body. Oh. And then you had one of her cousins was murdered in a domestic violence incident where he left her dead body out in the backyard and called police. And then you have this young man that went missing, and no one knows what happened to him. And there've been a lot of theories about what happened to him. I tend to line up with the one that this one guy who had written about what it sounded like to a friend online about a crime that very well could have been Branson Perry's murder. And there was a state trooper that was on the case that I talked to who is convinced that's what it is, and he very well might be right. But that guy's serving time for child pornography stuff, so yeah. Who knows if he'll ever be prosecuted for that.
Wow.
But that's crazy to have so much crime in such a short time in such a small, populated town.
Yeah, it was those three all died in five-year period.
And, wow.
And they're horrific, too. They're not just like, you know, some sort of spousal abuse that went out of hand or something, some weird sort of thing. This is, when you got to the town, you weren't coming for this case originally, were you? Or were you there for McElroy?
No, I was there for Bobby J. Stinnett.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a strange place. You know, it's like all around at the countryside, it's just lovely, very pastoral, like rolling hills and cows. And, you know, it just is pleasant and peaceful. But the town itself they felt very injured by the media and the public in general because of the McElroy story. And they have really pulled into themselves. I went to other towns around there thinking maybe this is just the way it is in Northwest Missouri. But no, every other place, every other little tiny town I stopped in, people were warm and friendly, like I've heard about the Midwest. So it was really a shock when, you know, I entered the town, I walked into a restaurant bar to grab some lunch, and I was told they don't serve people like me. You know, I'm going, okay.
like me.
People with two legs? Or?
Yeah, so, and then when I went to go into the convenience store, this big man blocked my way in the door. I was going to go get a pack of crackers and something to drink, you know, so I could have something to eat. No, you can't do business here. But, you know, it was just so strange. I've never encountered anything quite like that. I've had some weird responses on a couple of my other books, but it wasn't quite like this.
So,
do you think that... Do you think the town is embarrassed about the attention that they've gotten, maybe?
I think they're embarrassed by it, and I think they're angry by it. They think, well, there were a lot of, particularly like in the papers in the Northeast, the McElroy stuff made a lot of the people down there, like backwoods, ignorant, lynchers, you know? And, you know, honestly, when you look at the story of McElroy and how he kept getting away with one crime after another, and his lawyer was just so crafty and got him off all the time, and once again, he was slipping through the fingers of justice, and they couldn't take it anymore. He was shooting at people now. He'd gone that far. I mean, stealing their cows was one thing. But then they started shooting people, and old people at that. So he was just terrorizing the town. And I can't say that I blame them for wanting to get rid of him like that when it seemed like the law wasn't helping at all.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that they were also criticized for was not getting, there were a lot of witnesses, and no one gave up the shooters. And shoot, I can understand that. You know, they were really feeling like us against the world. Nobody's helping us. We've got to deal with ourselves. It wasn't the right thing to do. It was an act of total desperation. But I can't condemn them for it.
Yeah. Now there was, that series also alluded to, a big problem with meth in the town. Did you find that to be true?
I actually, you know, I wasn't looking to buy meth while I was there, so I didn't notice.
That's kind of a surprise. You brought your own.
It seems like your thing. I mean,
yeah.
I spend most of my time with my brain speeding fast enough anyway, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. She brought her own. No, but I just, no, I just, I mean, because they really kind of alluded to that with they mentioned it a lot, how much meth was being sold and bought and being made in that town. I wonder
well,
if that
you know,
had an effect.
So many. It might have had an effect on Branson Perry. I don't think it had any kind of an effect on Bobby Jo Stinnett. Mm. I mean, her killer came from a state away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are a big, big number of towns where there is not a future for a lot of people. And there isn't a way to earn a living without leaving. And I think that's why those little towns oftentimes are the place where meth becomes a problem. Because they're so desperate to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now this Bobby Jo Stinnett, now the case starts really when her mother discovers her in her home, lying dead in a big pool of blood, and
yes.
And the child missing, and she calls 911.
Yes.
So, up till then, Bobby Jo Stinnett, who was she? Like, what kind of life did she have?
She was a sweet young country girl. She loved animals. She worked in a pet store. She raised terriers and bred them and raised them and sold them, and that's how she made money. She was just a local girl. I mean, there was nothing about her that was extraordinary, except I do understand she was absolutely excellent at her barrel racing, but that's not a skill that is often esteemed in big cities. You know, it's a country thing. And she was as sweet can be. You can't find anybody that can say anything negative about her. She was a lovely girl who just wanted to have a family, and she finally found the right guy, and they were starting to make their family. And for that sin, she was murdered.
Wow. And so this was close to Christmas, too, wasn't it? Like December 16th?
Your 16th? Yes. Wow. About how horrible it has to be for Bobby Joe's mom for such a brutal, horrible crime to happen so close to Christmas. And every year as December approaches, probably for the rest of her life, she's going to be haunted by her daughter's death. And it's going to overshadow Christmas for her. It's really a sad thing.
Yeah. I mean, she was only 23 when she passed, and
right.
And how it happened is probably one of the most horrific things that I think I've ever read.
Oh my gosh, yes. It was so brutal. You see, it was a ruse on Lisa Montgomery's part to make her think she was coming to buy a puppy. And she came into her home and sliced her up the middle. And as she pulled the baby out, Bobby Jo fought back, and she throttled her and left with that child. Drove back to Kansas and took her around the neighborhood, claiming her to be that this was her new baby.
Wow. Was Montgomery pretending to be pregnant then back home?
Yes, she had been pretending to be pregnant. Getting pregnant was something that she'd done in a previous marriage when she thought she was losing her husband's interest, and now in this current marriage, I think she was feeling the same thing, but her tubes have been tied. But some reason she put on this fake pregnancy act anyway, and her husband, who had lost interest in her, was glad for an excuse not to be physically intimate with her. And so he was just fine with him that part of the relationship was over. So he didn't question it, he just went along with it.
I've seen the mugshot. I can probably agree with him on that fact. She did. she does not look like a pleasant individual at all, at least in that picture.
I think she probably could at times look like a very pleasant individual. I imagine she was all smiles when she was walking around with the other woman's baby, claiming it to be hers. She went to a preacher. She went to the cafe in the downtown area where everybody went. She thought she pulled off a great big surprise for the world. She didn't think she'd ever get caught.
So what was her story? What's Lisa Montgomery's tale?
Well, she had a childhood that wasn't, you know, it wasn't particularly brutal, but it wasn't particularly pleasant either. There's a question of whether or not one of her stepfathers abused her. That may have happened, and that may have twisted her. But it seems like she was a very self-absorbed person from the beginning. And she always wanted to have her way, and what she wanted was always most important. And she watched the example of her mother, who basically taught her that if you don't have a man, you are not of value. And so she would do anything to hang on to a man. This was not her first fake pregnancy. Once before, she said she was following someone else who was having twins, and she was having twins. But then the real mother had a miscarriage, and so then Lisa had to have a miscarriage too, or else say she was wrong about the twins, which is what she did. She switched over to Bobby Joe's baby then. She's a very messed up person.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I read about her. She studied
on how to give a cesarean on a goat. That was part of her practice for what she was going to do.
Oh. Oh, great. When I was reading about her, I thought maybe she was married to the guy that they shot in town, right? Because he was into raping all those 14-year-old girls, and it sounded terrible. This is what I don't get. How can you actually go in with the intention of cutting a baby live out of a live person?
I don't know. You know, I really thought that this was, when I heard about this crime, I thought, my God, it's bizarre. And I didn't think it ever happened before. I never even heard of it. But sure enough, I started doing the research, and although it was a rare crime, it was happened enough times that the FBI issued a special report on it. And a lot of the thinking is that people that wanted a baby and couldn't have one would usually go into the hospital and steal a baby. But then security at hospitals got so tight that they couldn't do that. So some decided to just prey on people in their neighborhood who put up little signs, it's a boy, it's a girl, in their yard, and take that baby, or offer to donate baby supplies to someone and then take that baby. And they looked into the odd thing that some people find totally incredible, that the man in the woman's life didn't catch on to it. But they said it wasn't because they were stupid. It's because they were disinterested. They had doctors, lawyers, who've been in the life of these women who took the babies. And when it gets too hard to get what you want or impossible to get what you want, there are people who have absolutely no limits. They will lie, cheat, deceive, and steal and kill.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
To get what they want.
You know, when you hear about a baby being cut out, I think of Sharon Tate, Charles Manson. It's kind of
yeah.
The only thing I've heard of before, so... How did the town deal with this then? This was really close to the shooting of McElroy, right?
Well, it wasn't that close. I mean, there were quite a few years in between it, but they were still carrying the stain, and they still had that chip on their shoulder. And, you know, Lisa Montgomery had studied that the crime of stealing a baby from the body. And she decided that what everybody else did wrong was stay in their own hometown and commit the crime. So she went a state away. Now, was she drawn to Skidmore because of McElroy? It's possible she was researching crime. She could have stumbled across that. That could have made it appealing to her. I have no idea. I mean, she's never given a public interview. So, you know, and she didn't testify at her trial. And she's just sitting on death row waiting to die. So, you know, there's no way to know.
Yeah, no way to know. How did the two meet?
They met online. They were both on this chat group about rat terriers, and Lisa Montgomery and her had actually met just like to say hi. No, they didn't really know each other at different events for the rat terrier enthusiasts, and she created a false identity to communicate with Bobby Joe online. And at first, you know, the police were looking for her under her false name and under the fake town where she said she lived. It was a town nearby in Missouri. But in actuality, she was way down in Kansas, west of Kansas City. Kansas City.
Wow. So what she actually said she was going to come buy a dog.
Yes. Coming by to look at the puppies. It's just so weird. And I keep going back to what a sweet, innocent young woman Bobby Joe was. And how, in some ways, she set herself up to be a victim without realizing it. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children said that you should never ever put a picture of yourself online when you're pregnant. You should never put up one of those nice little signs in the yard, you know, that says, I got a brand new baby. You should not draw the attention of strangers to yourself, because that's where danger is.
Wow. Now, the baby survived, correct?
Correct. That wasn't true in a lot of these cases. But in this one, yes, the baby survived, and the father has been raising the baby. And from all I've heard, which is indirectly, she's doing just fine.
Thank goodness.
Yes. But, you know, someday she's going to know the story of what happened to her mother. And that's going to be hard for her to take. But hopefully they pick a time where she's mature enough to deal with it.
Yeah, she'd be 16 years old now? Just about.
Yeah, just about. 15, 16, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. How did this Lisa Montgomery know the baby would survive? Like, how did she know what timing, like 8 months and where she could do this thing?
Well, she'd been following what was going on with Bobby Joe for a little while. And I don't know if she knew exactly how far along she was, but the baby was due January 19th, I believe, so... it was 8 months, which is extremely a viable baby. And a lot of people misjudge that when they commit this crime, and that's why the baby doesn't survive. Others are so traumatized in the actual attack on the mother, they don't survive because they get injured too. But every baby should be checked out by a medical professional, you know, make sure that they're okay. I mean, there isn't any problem that a layperson might not recognize. And childbirth is natural and everybody does it, but when it doesn't go right, it can go horribly wrong. And were lucky that that baby survived.
Yeah, I was surprised. And you say, you know, most of them die. Do you know how many of these happen per year, or is there quite a few?
No, it's not. I'm not even sure if it happens every year. There were, I think, about a dozen case studies in the FBI report that went over a 15-year time span. So, I mean, I heard one just recently happened somewhere in the country, and I can't remember where off the top of my head, but it's a rare crime because there's a lot of reasons. I mean, for one, you have to be capable of violence. For two, you have to be willing to fake a pregnancy for a number of months for anybody to find it credible that you just had a child. So it takes a lot of, it's horrible to use this word, but dedication to the lie on the part of the perpetrator to even think about pulling it off. And it's, wow. So it doesn't happen too much because it takes a lot of effort.
So what's happened to Montgomery's family now? I suppose they're probably had to move and hide from their town.
Well, I don't know. It's like I don't think that. I mean, at first everybody was thinking that that they were bad people, but soon after that faded, and it was clearly pointing the finger at Lisa Montgomery. Malvern is a small town in Kansas, and her husband there was in a family that was well established in the community. He had support from his church, and I think they just pretty much were okay. I do not know if they stayed in the same house, but I do know that they've stayed in the area.
Wow.
And there were a lot of kids in the house, too. I forget how many. 5, I think.
So she had that from a previous marriage, or?
There were, yes, they were previous marriage babies, yeah.
Wow. This is a crazy story. How does something like this get to you? Does it get to you, or does it affect you when you go down and you're dealing with something like this?
This was, my initial emotional response to it had more to do with my grandmother, because it wasn't long after my grandmother had died that this happened on the same day, on the anniversary of my grandmother's death. So that started. Then at that time, I had a daughter about the same age as Bobby Joe. So it was like an emotional roller coaster for a lot of the time working on it. And getting shunned by so much in the neighborhood, so many in the neighborhood was bizarre. And it's, when somebody is missing, it's a funny thing about the general public. When somebody is missing and they're trying to find it, everybody wants to run to the media and get media coverage on the missing person. And the more media, the better. And then when the person's found dead, like the meteor scum. You know, there's no gratitude for the fact that they, because of what the media did, that person's body was found, and at least it can be laid to rest. You know, I don't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean. What made the police look into this sort of situation in 2004? Like, I'm just thinking, you know, someone interested in buying a dog, you have a dog business. What made them go on the line and sort of go through the emails and stuff and think it could have been someone like her?
Well, they had, they looked for who that she'd last been in communication with, because that's an important person in a case, no matter whether you're dead or alive. I mean, it's an important person. It doesn't mean that person has anything to do with it. But when they found out it was a false name, that's when they started getting suspicious. And they actually got calls from some other people in that rat terrier community who were talking about how suspiciously that person was acting, and they were uncomfortable with it. And so, and they knew her history. They knew who she was. They knew her history of faking pregnancy and sending handmade quilts to this woman who's supposed to have twins. And so they were very suspicious of Lisa Montgomery, and they suggested her. Well, then they had to use the tracking software to find out where she really was, and they tracked it back to her home. And then they moved in to get the child, and everybody, the family, is sitting and watching television. They're watching the news of this baby that's missing. And Lisa's sitting there holding the baby when the police walk in.
Oof.
And the sad thing is, you know, her husband, he loved kids. He just loved kids to death. And he was like, he didn't understand what was going on at all. One of the things he asked the police after they took the baby and his wife away, he said, well, when will I get my baby back? Hmm. He didn't understand at all. I mean, it was so horribly sad. And you know what little tiny babies are like. It only takes a couple of days to bond with them. You know, and
yeah.
He really was a victim too.
Oh yeah, it would be devastating for him and the family. So what's going to happen with her now? You say that she's on death row.
She's on federal death row.
So does that mean she'll actually get killed or by the government, or is she just going to be there forever?
The feds tend to be really slow with their executions, so, and it seems like they even slow down even more when it's a woman. So I don't think that it's all that likely. And I imagine she'll just die in prison.
Yeah, right now, isn't she the only woman on federal death row?
I think she might be, yeah. It's really odd to end up on federal death row. That's an unusual place. Most of the death row prisoners are in state prisons.
I think
but
it was
she
because...
crossed the state line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was the kidnap aspect of it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. We sort of have a problem putting a woman to death for something like this, don't we? Or in any case.
Yeah. And I think it is because society really hasn't totally accepted that a woman is capable of the same level of violence as a man. And yes, it may be rarer in women, but the capability is clearly there. You know, there have been women serial killers. They're not as typical as men, but it can happen. And I think we would really it's odd to say, but I think it might be a sign of improved gender equality if we stop being that way.
Yeah. Put her down. Make them equal.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, you know, it's like, well, and in the justice system, I think sometimes being a woman works against you, but more often it works in your favor.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, it's the other thing that just doesn't work is if you're rich, well, you can pretty much count on the fact that you're not going to get the death penalty. No matter what you do. And so there's an unequal justice, and I think we do need to strive to improve on that.
Wow. So this is quite the book. I've been listening to it. It's great. Are you working on something new, poetry or something later?
I'm working, and I'm getting very close to the end of not writing a novel that starts out with one of the characters sitting and watching the beautiful falling snow and fantasizing about the number of ways her husband could die before he got home.
Oh, so yeah, you are working on something much lighter.
That sounds uplifting.
good Christmas stories.
Yeah.
yeah, good happy stuff. Wow. Now, do you have your own website now for people to come see you, or is it just go online and find your book?
Yeah, my website is http://dianefanning.com.
Well, that's pretty easy.
You don't even need that old fussy www in there.
No, nowadays.
Yeah.
So we'll put that up on the website, just like your book. Our guest has been the great Diane Fanning, and the book we're talking about is Baby Be Mine, and it's the shocking true story of a woman who murdered a pregnant mother to steal her child. Thank you for being on.
My pleasure. Have fun in your house of mystery.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.